is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host.
It's me.
It's her. It's Miss on a Bike.
It is, yeah. How you doing?
You right, bud?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. You've been busy, girl, this morning.
I know, right?
Yeah, you've had to dash over here.
I'm fed up with speaking. Fed up with my own voice now in my head. I am.
Are you all right, my lover?
I'm not really, no. I might be quiet.
So what have you been up to?
This morning I was talking at the Federation of Small Business for Women in Business up in London.
London.
Dartford is now London, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, London Borough. Yeah.
So I was up there speaking. Sue Hainsby's just started and took over that women's group. She asked me ages ago.
Well, far be it from me to big you up, Bird.
What, love?
But I did hear that it was a sellout and they had to put on more tickets.
Thanks very much, yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's a great venue. And Lisa, who I didn't realise who's the manager up there, was the manager at Base Point in Dartford over the other side. So when I turned up, she went, Bird. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, so it's really good to see some different people in different places, but still they're still conquering the women in business. And they're very big this year, FSB, on role modelling. So how can you and I... How can you and I be role models?
Me?
Yes,
role model?
You.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. And I did loads of research last night, because obviously, like you, when you speak, we do lots of research. I didn't, you know, the thing is, people say to me, how do you remember what you speak about? How do you... I say, look, I keep it very narrow to what I know. I always have got a couple of things I know I say consistently.
Yep.
You and I repeat the same thing, don't we?
Same joke, over and over.
Same thing. But what I did do is do some research into, okay, so who are these women role models that we've got coming up at the minute? And there's this wonderful thing from Cranfield Research. And Cranfield would do this 100 women to watch. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting, the trends that are there. So a lot of top women in the country at the minute in business are either in insurance.
Right, okay.
Or banking.
Right, yep.
Very, very little are in marketing or in just natural business, entrepreneur, none of that. They're not interested in that. It's all about banking, insurance.
Okay.
So we're missing a trick, Nettie.
Do you think, though, are these people who are in banking now likely to be the people who will bring these skills outside later?
Never.
Not at all?
No.
Interesting.
Yes.
They're all going to retire by the time they're 40.
Yeah, but then they'll have to do something. They'll be bored.
Yeah, I don't, and so I really don't think. And then I was looking at the FTSE 100 and how many women are on are there and how it's different. And then the FTSE 250 and who's going to be coming through for the FTSE 100. Really interesting looking at the trends of women.
But do you think as well then, this
you're
is
very
really
gentle
thinking,
today.
I know, my back hurts. Do you think though that this is the start of more women in the boardroom?
Well, there's a wonderful piece of research by Kantar. Kantar did some research in 1972 called The Token Woman. I think that says it all.
Yeah.
I love poking the bear. This could get dodgy,
but
no, it's an interesting thing.
When I had a proper job 30 odd years ago, I was a senior executive in an investment bank.
I thought you said I was a singer for a
singer. No, that's my next venture. Yeah. Now I was a senior executive in an investment bank in the 80s, and there were lots of really talented women that worked in investment banking, but very few of them made it to partner, and the reason was they didn't stay long enough.
Yeah, you got it spot on.
Yeah, they get into their late mid 30s, and then they go, do you know what? It's ticking, the time bomb's ticking.
Yeah,
and I might leave and have babies. Now some of them would come back in a few years, but of course they'd missed out on all of that career progression and had
absolutely
to effectively start again.
Yeah.
So they never made it, not because they were prevented, but through their own choices were taking themselves out of the marketplace.
I would agree with that, but being someone who was a mum in the 90s, I had two children, one in 96 and one in 99, and I was a bank manager for Barclays.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I shouldn't have mentioned the bank, and other banks would also have had the same view at that time.
But Barclays were the worst.
But no, they were.
Oh, okay.
but when I had my daughter, yeah. I wasn't allowed to go back part-time and keep the grade that I had worked for.
Sure.
When I had my son 3 years later, so many women had walks that were in that sort of grade that it was almost like, Nettie, what would you like?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it
no.
changed so much.
No, absolutely. And that is still prevalent now that people are allowed, you know, to come back because they're desperate for people. We're desperate for everybody at the moment. But the problem is, in senior management positions like that, if you've been out of the marketplace for 4 or 5 years, your skills are just behind the curve now.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not saying that's entirely the problem, but it's a massive part of why there aren't as many women as there should be in very senior positions.
Well, we know that it's now about 50-50% now of men and women who start academia, so that uni time is equal. So what happens then that we women rise or fall or they stay the same? And I absolutely agree with you. I think it's time on your legs in the business.
Yep.
And I was just listening to a podcast with Doug McMillan, who's the CEO of Global Walmart. And he talks about this. Do you know, he'd been with a company for 33 years. So you're exactly spot on. I truly believe that's the biggest hindrance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that time on your legs?
There's lots of that. It's like Terry Leahy that ran Tesco's. I mean, he started as a shelf stacker. You know, it's just getting your time in and going through the corporate ladders.
Yep.
And for me, that's what prevented a lot of women actually making it to the very top. It was not overt discrimination per se. No. It's just circumstances to a large extent. But Ness is absolutely right. Once upon a time, you couldn't get back in.
No.
Now, flexibility is everything anyway. So most organisations welcome flexibility of the workforce in any case.
But it was interesting how it was starting to change in the bigger industries and the city jobs in the late 90s, where I think it's only really caught up in the last 10 years, and I think it's still got a lot of work to do when it comes to flexible working.
Well, it doesn't help.
Just that, for men and women.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It doesn't help when our politicians don't understand flexible working and try and stop it, you know, and get really stupid about zero-hour contracts and stuff like that, when in fact it's all about flexibility.
Yeah. But you say that, right, Mr. Andrews, you say that. So when I go in and do well-being in organisations, they really pride themselves on having flexible hours of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
But guess what? We haven't educated people in what that actually truly means. So mindset-wise, they still don't want to do it. They still think, oh, if I get in at 8 and I'm leaving at 6, do you know what? I'm going to be seen to be this. They don't look at productivity over time.
All the people that work for me, all the people that work for me, I give them a contract of employment and they go, what's the start and finish time? I go, I don't know. Yeah. Whenever
I think that's really interesting.
When you get here and when you leave, actually, you know, is when the start and finish time are, as long as you do the work.
But actually, putting him on the spot, we have a man who runs a restaurant here.
Yeah.
So how would you, if you have somebody who starts in the restaurant, Massimo, 6 o'clock, what time do they finish that evening? Is it when the customers have all gone home? Is it when the jobs are done?
As you said, there is no time, actually. You know, we know when we start and we know when we finish.
Yeah.
But saying that about the women, we got the same. Apologize for my accent anyway.
Don't.
And, it's as bad as mine.
We got the same situation in Italy now, where a political class is changing because you're going at young parties and more women, they are joining the party. And now we got young women join this political party, which is quite different when I was a child 40 years ago. And where all the women, the politician as a women, they were over 60.
Yeah.
Because just because they were women. Now we got lots of politicians between 25 and 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's changing. Something's
changing.
Absolutely.
The same in catering.
The
same in catering.
Yeah.
The point you were making, I think, Nettie, is there are some places where you can't be flexible as well? And that's a given, that's obvious. But where you can, the interesting point, though, about my lot, is they still turn up at 8:30.
And that's what I'm saying.
And go home at 5, no matter what you tell them, they still do it.
It's the mindset. So actually, these flexi hours don't work.
No,
And these guys can't go home until the customers have gone, the tables are clear, and the pots are washed.
I would have liked to have done flexi hours as a nurse. Could you imagine it?
We are flexible because in Amici we've got three mamas. We've got my wife, we've got our chef, and there's a Devonia mama. She's a mama of two like us. And we got another lady, she's a mama of two. So we've got three mamas in Amici. And we are flexible. They are flexible.
Yeah.
It was the customer to be more flexible.
Oh, when there's a stack of the customer times, and it will be
there's a debate.
There's a debate.
Cool. So I'll tell you what. We would like to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could, in fact, call us if you wanted to on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. But the phone doesn't ring in the studio. It blinks, and I always miss it. So if you are going to call me, I suggest you tweet me first and let me know. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BeBunker. We have already had a few trillion tweets, and I'm sure Bird's about to read one or something.
I got
you there, didn't I?
Well, I was just working, actually. I was just answering a tweet that Lisa Marie Settle sent me. In fact, she's taken a couple of photos of this morning. She went, morning spent with these lovelies, and that was me, Bird on a Bike, and Sue Hainsby and more. Thank you, FSP Kent.
Cool, yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, when good. You look at yourself and you go, oh, that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then we've got another one, which is very nice. Butterflies Event says, yippee, it's Business Bunker Day. I'm glued to the seat waiting for another great show with Vanilla Web and Bird on a Bike. Have a good one, guys. P.S. London doesn't start until Bexley. Northfleet is definitely Kent. Who knew?
There you go.
Thank you very much.
And she's from South London, so she would know.
She gets a bit dodgy with these areas,
doesn't she? We've had a tweet from the lovely Kim at Caring Kent, and she says, and I'll read this word for word, hello, Business Bunker. And there's a big heart symbol. I'd love a big bunker shout out, please, because I love Business Bunker more than X Factor.
No way.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hey, that's brilliant, isn't
we're
it?
More important.
Oh, all of a sudden we've become a we over here.
Yeah.
Some of us pay to be on here.
I like it. Right, we've got Compare and Recycle.
Yeah. Go for it.
A Business Bunker shout out to Green Tuesday, please. It comes hot on the heels of Black Friday. While new gadgets are bagged, there's no attention brought to recycling unwanted tech. So this is Have a Great Show, Bird on a Bike and Vanilla Web. And guess, Green Tuesday, the 27th of November.
Mm.
Stop hoarding this Black Friday. Recycle on Green Tuesday.
Absolutely. Compare and Recycle, fabulous Maidstone-based business. They find you the best prices. Someone's got their phone on. They find you the best prices for selling your old mobile phones and tablets and stuff.
Do you remember we had them in here?
Yeah, but they were on the show a few months ago.
Yeah.
Cool. Really good. I'm just trying to find another tweet. Twitter's driving me nuts at the moment. There's so much stuff on here. Oh, there it is. There's a new listener called Crestworth Limited. And they say, Paul, we're looking forward to tuning into the Bunker Show for the first time, and could we have a shout-out, please? Let me try and tell you what they do. We're a Kent-based independent building, maintenance and support services provider for commercial entities and residential customers. And you can follow them on Le Twitter at Crestworth LTD. All one word, Crest, C-R-E-S-T, W-O-R-T-H, Crestworth Limited.
Oh, I tell you what, this is how much I'm not even on it this morning. I haven't even looked at the emails yet.
Have you not?
Not.
So what are you telling me? There's no point in me coming to you because you're behind the curve.
Just fill in.
Do you know what then? Should we play some cheesy tunage?
What have you got this week? Because last week it was just ridiculing me. So what have you done this week?
No, well, I'll let you off and I decided to ridicule Steve instead. Yeah.
Excellent.
Although it's not really ridicule, yeah. It's just a bit of cheesy tunage, just for Steve's benefit. We're going to be talking to Steve when we come back. I tried to pick a track to play that has some kind of tenuous, cheesy link with what we're going to talk about. So see if you can get this.
You've done it all. You've broken every code. Paul's the rebel to the flow. You spoke the game, no matter what you say. But only metal, what a ball. Blue eyes, happiness.
There's nothing left, all gone and run away. Maybe you'll tarry for a while. It's just a test, a game for us to play. Win or lose, it's hard to smile. There ain't no more. You've taken everything. My belief in Mother Earth. Can you ignore my faith in everything? 'Cause I know what faith is and what it's worth. Away, away. Say, maybe you'll try to come up and see me, to make me smile. I'll do what you want, just run away
Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. I had a tweet earlier, and Twitter's driving me nuts. I had a tweet earlier from another new listener, and do you think I can find it now? I cannot. There's somebody called Reg. Anyway, I'll tell you what, now you've picked up your emails, why don't you read one?
Oh. Well, that was a surprise. I thought I was going to go into a tweet. Would it be possible?
Well, I was, but I can't find it. I've found it now.
Go on.
No, you go now. No, you go.
You go.
Okay. It's a new listener, and his name is Reg.
You don't hear many Regs, do you?
We don't get many Regs these days, no. So we've got Reg Gosling, and he says, Vanilla Webb, I'd love a business bunker shout out on the show for Reg, that's him, I guess, at Improving Perth PC. That's his Twitter handle. It's Improving Perth, P-E-R-F PC. It stands for Improving Performance Personal Coaching.
Wow.
So there you go. Consider yourself shouted out, Reg.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yeah, and while I'm on, I've got a brand new listener and someone brand new to Twitter as well, JLTMS Limited. And they say, hello, Paul, we'd like to follow you and listen to the Business Bunker Show. So there you go.
Is something going on with the colours on a Tuesday? Am I missing something? We had green Tuesday, now I've got a purple Tuesday. What is going on?
Oh, you know what it's like. It's a bandwagon, isn't it?
Okay, well, this is from Deborah Turner. So, Debs, what are you saying? But she says this. Give a shout-out to, please, Business Bunker to Purple Tuesday at Purple Tuesday UK, raising awareness to encourage shops and businesses to be more accessible. What's that finger doing?
Well, I was just thinking, if we had Green Wednesday and Purple Tuesday, does that make a bruise shape on Thursday? Or
might do, don't know.
Could do, couldn't it?
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, so there you go, Debs. That's for Purple Tuesday.
Purple Tuesday. Do we know what Purple Tuesday's for?
It says at Purple Tuesday UK, it's for a launch tomorrow in Kent in collaboration with Gen 2 Property. So I don't really know. It's an awareness to encourage shops and business to be more accessible. So I would imagine more disability accessibility.
Oh, okay. Do you think? Fair enough, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, okay. Could well be.
Yeah.
Could well
be. Can I just say, Twitter's gone mad.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a shout out today.
Yeah, Justin Dean, can we have a shout out for us, please? If you recommend us, you can win an award-winning sparkling wine from Biddenden Vine. So give them a shout out, Creative Motion, I think. And they want you to use the hashtag Creative Motion.
Cool. Well, because I was speaking at the FSB today, let's have an email about it. So
you weren't, were you?
I was.
Were you?
Would it be possible for the below event? This is obviously I'm reading from an email, that Peter Searle is hosting for the FSB Wednesday, the 21st of November. When's that? Next week, isn't it?
Next week.
Next Wednesday. Wednesday, the 21st of November, starting at 8 a.m. and running till 9:30 at the Metro Bank in Maidstone. This is from the business doctor, Peter Searle. He'll be hosting this free FSB Connect event. So this month, they have Liz White from Think World Media talking about clever PR and how you can save your business in a time of crisis, along with Miriam McGurk, the writer, storyteller, speaker and blogger. And you need to go along to either Eventbrite or you can book through businessdoctors.co.uk.
Fantastic. Nettie's just passed me this, which is an explanation of Purple Tuesday. Some of the UK's biggest retailers are taking a break from the frantic build-up to Christmas this week for Purple Tuesday. It's the very first national day dedicated to the needs of disabled shoppers, as you said, Bird. Asda, Marks and Spencers and Sainsbury's are among more than 700 businesses who have joined the initiative by Monday morning. Companies are required to make at least one long-term commitment to improve the experience of disabled customers in order to take part. Purple estimates British people with disabilities spend north of $249 billion a year on retail and leisure. There you go. Fantastic.
That's a lovely thing to do, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's that kind of inclusion that I think is much more viable than a lot of the other stuff that people talk about, because it's practical, it's effective, it helps everyone. Yeah. It suits the community, it suits the retail operations, it suits people with supported needs and disabilities.
Yeah.
It's also an opportunity. You know, the Bunker Show here and Jobs in Kent, we're very involved with the Kent Supported Employment Group, who find supported work for supported needs workers. And this kind of thing actually aids that as well, because it makes it all very inclusive and gets people to kind of talk to people with supported needs and disabilities and to see how useful they can be in the workplace.
But it'll also be training the staff, won't it?
Exactly.
It's a whole awareness thing of what these people need and how to give a better experience.
Exactly.
It can only be a good thing.
Yeah, no, good. Nice one. Thanks for bringing that up, Deb, and thank you for finding that, Nettie. In a moment, we're going to talk to our first guest, Steve. I've got a couple more tweets that we're going to read. We've had a tweet from Athel Bray. And I say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, can we have a shout-out, please? It's Anti-Bullying Week, and we firmly believe that the only way to handle bullies is by being assertive. So for staff needing help, our Assertive Communications Workshop on the 24th of January at Chilston Park provides support and guidance for in and out of work. You can find out more about that by following them on Twitter at Athelbray Limited. That's A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E. LTD, Athelbray Limited, the training company. Nice. Do give them a follow.
Cool.
We'll do one more and you can choose what you do, Bird.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk to Steve.
Do you have a business in these areas? You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Canterbury.
Yes.
Whitstable.
Yes.
Herne Bay.
No.
Margate.
No.
Ramsgate.
No.
Broadstairs.
No.
Apply now for free for the Canterbury business. Which, hey, we practice this. We're like a finely tuned machine. Apply now for a free for the Canterbury Business Awards. Now you're going to get me started.
Yeah,
2019.
Go on.
So if you want to apply, the awards presentation will be in March 2019 at Broome Park. So you need to go on to www.businessawardskent.co.uk/Canterbury. And I can't apply.
No, no, because you're in Hive.
Global.
You're in Hive.
Global.
You should have applied for the South Kent ones.
I'm global.
I know you're global, but we don't do global awards.
We should.
Maybe we ought to start that. The Global Awards, yeah.
Oh, my God, let's do it. Yeah.
Well,
all inclusive.
Aren't you the only global local small business?
Yeah.
She's got a
win somehow. Yeah. And the winner, again, for the ninth year running is the only entrant, Bird on a Bike.
I'm going to present the award, win the award, and give the speech.
Yeah, yeah. Sisterhood goes against each other here.
I'm supporting it. I'm going to vote for you to win.
Right.
And
go
speak.
On.
Oh, dear. Right. Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time our first guest of the afternoon, Mr. Steve Nash. Steve, welcome onto the show.
Thank you.
We kind of got you in here to talk about a lot of the, not really about business at all, but about a lot of the crazy stuff and amazing stuff that you've been doing over the last couple of years for a charity that you've given an awful lot of support to. So let's start off by telling people about the charity and what it's all about. I'll let you do that.
Well, thanks for having me on Business Bunker.
It's a pleasure.
So I'm a volunteer from Stacey Smiles that are based in Gravesend in Kent.
And hence the cheesy track, come up and see me, make me smile.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a charity that was formed by a set of parents, Warren and Samantha Mole, after their daughter got diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer back in 2009, 2010.
Mm.
And she fought a very brave battle until she passed away in March of 2015. At that point, the family wanted to do a legacy.
Mm.
They weren't quite sure what legacy to do. So we had a discussion. And we found that the one thing that they couldn't actually do when they were with Stacey is actually enjoy those memories. All the memories were inside either four walls of home or the four walls of hospital, were actually an event to raise money for some treatment in the US had it become available for her. Unfortunately, with a lot of these children, I mean, there's 100 cases per annum with neuroblastoma cancer, 2 in 10 chance of survival when they're typically under the age of 5. So you can put £1 million into their bank account. That child probably is not going to be well enough to leave that hospital and go anywhere, let alone get onto a flight for 12 hours and go over to the US and endure like 3 months worth of treatment. So we decided that a lot of the families, like Warren and Samantha, they don't want to spend any money. They feel bad spending money. They actually feel bad going out and enjoying themselves.
Mm.
Like they feel that a lot of people are watching them and that they should be spending every penny they've got, putting it into the bank, waiting for treatment. So we create special wishes and treats for those families that coincide with the child's chemotherapy treatment.
Mm.
Because it affects the nervous nerve tissue, starts in the adrenal gland and works its way through the neck and the chest and the abdominal and the spine. It can render them with no immune system. And I know it sounds cheesy, but a lot of them, the only immune system they've got is actually a smile and a laughter.
Mm.
Okay, so we coincide some of those wishes that we do for those families and children with their treatment.
Okay.
So that they go into the, when they go in to have their treatment, they're probably in the best possible frame of mind to have that.
Fantastic. And some of the things you've done to raise money are just unbelievable. So I'll tell you what, Steve, start, just talk, because we want to hear about it. And I know that you've done this for the reasons that you've just outlined.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you are a bit mad, really, aren't you? Let's face it.
Well, your listeners won't be able to see, but I'm a perfect example of mind over matter. I'm not an athlete, okay, but I have a set of trainers, okay, and I've got my health. So what I decided to do, I know the family anyway, that's how I got involved. I walked from Spurs training ground to Gravesend, which was 30 miles, and then I did a 100-mile walk with a friend of ours as well. That was over 3 days. Various other kinds of walks, but then about last year I was having a discussion with the founder of the charity, Warren, and after a couple of drinks, I found myself agreeing to not only do the London Marathon that I'd already got a place for, but we spoke about how we can promote Stacey Smiles, because we help families in Preston down to Bristol and across to London. But we don't have a presence up there. So I said, it's almost like one of us needs to walk from one end of the country to another, because it's not just the treats and wishes, that the family are very much involved with solving kids' cancer, part of a consortium that is trying to find a cure for this in the UK. I found myself doing the London Marathon on April the 22nd, which was the hottest marathon on record.
It was the worst thing ever.
And then 3 days later, my trainers went on and I walked from John O'Groats down to Land's End, which was 925 miles.
He's completely barking mad, isn't he?
We followed you. Do you remember? We followed you all the way through it.
And interesting statistics, right? Bearing in mind that you can go to probably Scotland any day of the week and you'll encounter a shower or rain. I encountered in 31 days, okay, I encountered 2 hours of rain.
Well, because it was the hottest summer.
So they've invited him back.
How can you walk through Scotland right,
not get
for
wet.
15 days and have 2 hours of rain? And the other thing, I didn't get a single blister.
Really?
I didn't get a single blister. So as I say, a lot of it is mind over matter, and I think it's just a testament that pretty much you can do anything if you're determined and you're passionate enough to do it. I'm not an athlete. Anyone can do anything if you put your mind to it. And you said about business, and you said you're talking about something completely different. It's not business. This is 100% business. I'm part of a business networking group, and I attend one weekly down here in Kent. And through that business network, I was able to meet probably about 80 different individual business people from John O'Groats to Land's End.
Oh, okay, right.
Complete strangers coming out with local bakers, coming out with cakes and sweet makers, giving me support, walking with me, and then doing high five at a roundabout, and another business would then come out.
Right.
All these complete strangers. The thing is that charity is powerful. It's a two-way street. Anyone that thinks any different is mad. It's we've got supporters, and businesses obviously have clients, and I think the two can work extremely
absolutely
well together.
And I think you proved that in spades as well, Stu. So tell us what the outcomes of your epic a few weeks in April and May of that year. You did all those things. Presumably you raised a fair amount of money.
Yeah, I raised about £12,000. The most important thing is, from the length and breadth of the country, people know
it's awareness,
more about neuroblastoma, and they know more about us. So big tick in the box.
Absolutely. And then last year you also were one of the main people involved in the ball that you staged for Stacey Smiles. Just tell us a little bit about that, because you raised a load more money there from auctions and things.
We basically at a hotel in London for this business group primarily. We got a lot of business people together, about 174, and we had fantastic night by all. We had an auction and we raised about £7,500, which was fantastic.
Absolutely.
A lot of this money, we have a home, like a mobile home down in Battle in Crowhurst Park, and basically we've bought that.
Right.
And that is somewhere for the family to go pre and post treatment
right.
to just be themselves.
Okay.
And everything around there that costs money to entertain them is paid for.
Right.
We don't just do something for the child. Okay, we try and find out what makes the father, the mother, and the siblings tick, mm. and do something for them as well, because
Absolutely.
They're all involved in this,
and they need some relief as well. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So a lot of the money that's donated goes towards like maintaining the home and allowing families to go there all throughout the summer. We've just sent a family to the US. Mm. It's our first one to Disneyland. He's about to go through quite a considerable amount of treatment. His name's right. Kobe. He's about to go through some considerable amount of treatment. So we've sent the family out there. So, again, he can be in the best possible place when he returns.
Fantastic. Really fantastic. There's so many elements to this that are good. I mean, but it's this total support thing that you're doing that makes it so different.
Well, One thing probably might explain how we interact with business. It was about 4 years ago I was brought into this business networking room, walked in there. I'm a business person myself, but I walked into this room and I wasn't there for business. I was there for charity.
Mm.
I didn't know what on earth I was going to say to them, but I thought of something. I told them why I was there.
Mm.
Stacey was alive at the time.
Mm.
And after I finished speaking, there was a guy that came up to me and he gave me £50 and said, "It's what I have," he said, "and it's what you're going to have. I can't let you leave. I may not see you again." And there you go. So I said to him, "I'm really humble to take this money, and you're probably really humble to give it. But I gave it to him back. And I said, that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to shake a bucket. One of our slogans is, I'd rather shake hands than tins. I said, I'd rather have £50 of your time, your experience,
yeah.
your knowledge, your resources, mm. your presence, the doors you open, the mm. doors that we can knock on."
Mm.
And that guy took the £50 and then just stared at me. And then we went and had a coffee. And I said, this is what we do. We turn that into £500 for you and £500 for me.
Mm.
I found out about his business and what he does. He's an insurance guy in Rochester. And I was able to talk to some people and some supporters that we know. And I was able to get him about £800 worth of business.
Wow.
In return, he was able to get about £1,000 worth of donations our way just by putting our slogan onto his website,
mm.
sending an email out to his clients to say, yep. over the next couple of months, I'm going to be supporting this charity.
Mm.
We might as well have sewn up our pockets. We got £1,000, he got £800, he got business awareness, we got a donation, we were able to put a smile on the child's face, and neither of us spent money. Thus, our slogan was born, Partners Not Pockets.
Fantastic.
That's great.
That's a brilliant story, isn't it? That's fantastic. And you continue this work today.
Yeah.
It's kind of taken over a bit of your life, really, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, I don't have children and I don't play golf.
Right.
So that probably frees up an awful lot of one man's time. Right? Yeah. In fairness, I don't have children. A lot of the people that are around Warren and Sam, I'm a project manager by trade.
Right.
So when it comes to managing all the events,
mm.
I pretty much just treat them like a project.
Yeah.
Warren pulled on everyone's strengths,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
And secondly, I don't have children.
Yeah.
So I do have more mm. time on my hands.
Mm.
And it's something that I love.
Yeah.
And they are friends of mine. And to just see the stories that come out, it's quite heartwarming.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those things that absorbs you eventually, though, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, because and I mean that in the best possible way, because it becomes a focal point for everything.
Mm.
But as you're describing it, though, Steve, it's more than just a charity. It's more than just raising money.
Mm.
It's about making connections. You know, you walk the length of the country to tell people about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and get that message out as far and wide as you can. So it's about the whole community that you've created around that, really, from a business point of view as much as a charity point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be honest with you, business tries to penetrate mm. communities quite often,
mm.
okay, which I totally understand. But I think charity, personally speaking, is a fantastic stepping stone between a community and a business.
Mm.
And if a charity can actually bring business and community together as a third
yeah.
person,
mm.
then it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did you decide in the pathway of all this to change the whole model of charity?
You see an awful lot of people shaking buckets on streets. I think you see less of them now. I think there's more charities that get involved with business. And I was sitting there trying to figure out how we could get inroads into certain places, into certain companies. And then it's when I got invited to this business group, I thought these guys are in the room and these guys could provide pretty much everything that we need. But I'm not going to shake a bucket. I've never stood up in front of a business and asked for money. If people want to donate, they will do. We've got obviously the website. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook quite heavily. I don't need to go into a room and say to a load of business people, I need money donated. It's obvious. I'm a charity. I don't need to say that. All they want to know is companies don't have a lot of money now that's kind of disposable income to give to a charity. And you've also got the, what's when companies support charities?
What is it called? Corporate social responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of companies just go and put money into a charity's bank account, and I know that can just, and then just tick the box.
Quickly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What we look for businesses that can actually support us throughout the year. And that is kind of, it gives a warm feeling to people for a company that actually does that. But we turned on its head, basically, because that is how the first business meeting I had embraced me on that. They embraced me so well on that that I thought, we've got something here. Not many charities go into these business networking groups.
No, absolutely.
I don't think that many charities realise how powerful they are. They've got a sob story to tell, okay? And they think that they can just say that and then... And they've got nothing else to offer.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And they have.
Yeah, absolutely right. I am involved with two charities. And it's interesting when I get approached by other people looking for charitable donations for me and as a business, they without being too harsh about it, they're pretty poor at putting across what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you something that's a real heart-rending story about whatever their client group is and go, give us money. And the fact is, I get a dozen of those a week.
Yeah.
And you become immune to it after a while because you can't support everything.
Yeah.
But it's about making that effort to get involved in what you're doing. And one of the things I've found with some of the charities I'm involved in, the people in the charity tend to be entirely focused on whatever the cause of the charity is, and they tend to be experts in that. They're not experts in communicating, in marketing, yeah, in sales, and all the other kind of business skills that you actually need to get something on the map and to get income coming in. So you're absolutely right. To actually get involved and go out there and get involved is unique, really. There's not many charities that actually do that. Yeah, cool. Steve, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time.
No problem.
If people want to find out more about Stacey Smiles,
yes,
what's the website or the best way to do that?
You can find Stacey Smiles on Facebook. On Twitter is @StaceySmiles, or there's www.staceysmiles.org.uk.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you in and to hear you talk about it and all the stuff that you've done. All power to you and all the people that support you,
thank you
for the fantastic work that you have done and you continue to do, and we wish you much success with that. Just while we're talking to you, though, you may mention that you're a project manager. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing at the moment, project management wise.
Okay, well, I've set myself up with a company called The Project Mentor. So I've been in project management since 1992. All sorts of project management delivery across Europe, the Middle East, Libya, on the border of Syria. There's some pretty hairy projects that I've been responsible for, deploying satellite broadband to schools in Tanzania, South Africa, and across like Botswana, et cetera, through to delivery of projects in Scotland and Northern Ireland. So if there's any, my focus is basically a company that wins a tender, for example.
Yeah.
And then when they win that tender, they've got to go through the tender process and put it together. They might need a project manager to help them do that. And then bringing their company together to ultimately deliver the project. And that's the sort of thing that I now do.
Fantastic. So if anybody wants a complete overachiever managing their project, you know where to come.
He says this word overachiever and it fascinates me. It's such a judgment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how can you overachieve?
And we're looking because he does.
Much. You can be a high achiever.
No, he's overachieving.
Really amazing.
No, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
It's You've always said to me, oh, you're an overachiever. I'm like, how can you overachieve?
Yeah.
You can be a high achiever.
Yeah. No.
I want to ask a question.
No, hold on. I need to answer your question first.
You two are wacky.
I know. It's like a duel, isn't it, today?
An overachiever is someone that's exceeded being a high achiever.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you can.
Well, he's just made that up.
Yeah. Well recovered.
Yeah.
That's a Paulism, isn't it? Can I ask? Eh?
Yeah.
Finishing up on that.
Just very quickly. I used to work for Citibank, the American bank, and I got a new boss, and we didn't get on. And he did my appraisal, and he said, "You're an underachiever," and I just went, "You're an overexpecter."
And there's the door.
Yeah.
That's the same. I used to work for.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Steve, just tell us the rainbow of emotions that you went through during your toughest challenge.
Oh, wow. Well, the first, the 2 hours of rain in 31 days were the first 2 hours of the walk.
Hmm.
Okay. So you can imagine the first 2 hours of the walk, pretty much on my own, sheet rain, was horrible. But the thing is, the amount of people that I met, especially through Scotland, that didn't know who I was, what I was really doing, would ask me what I was doing, and offer comfort and words and humour and a bit of banter, etc., and actually start walking with me. It sounds cheesy, but it was. Although I was walking on my own, there was always somebody, I suppose, that would ask me a lot along the way what I was doing, etc. So it kept me kind of. Kept me kind of going there. I was in pain for a lot of it. I suffered from a back pain. I was chased by a bull.
You were chased by what?
I was chased by a bull. had to go flying over a fence, chased by a bull. I was chased by another bull with somebody who decided to walk with me. And I got out of the field thinking, well, that was a close escape. And as I turned around and looked at the bull that was walking away, I then went flying several foot into the air and face planted the ground because I disturbed a ram that I didn't realise was standing behind me, who had taken a dislike to me and run at me with the horns, much to the humour of the person standing next to me.
And the bull.
Yeah, you met my mate, the ram. Yeah, you get away from me, the ram gets you.
I had various altercations. So some of the roads were fairly dangerous.
Yep.
So obviously on some occasions I wouldn't be sitting here now without diving into people's gardens over their fences sometimes.
Wow.
Especially when there's a group of elderly people all having an afternoon tea and I go flying over the fence with my cap turned around the wrong way and my rucksack and landed on the floor.
How did you get through the pain? What was it that you were thinking, feeling, saying, doing?
I know this is going to sound really, really cheesy, but I just thought this pain here will go. The pain in the people's minds and in their lives of why I'm doing it, that pain will not go. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it does.
Yeah.
It did go through my head. The other thing that got me through it is I thought of a comedy in my head that I'm going to be writing in the next few months, and so.
I told you, didn't I tell you he's an overachiever.
Each day I was thinking of characters and scenes and storylines, and so that just kept me going.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately when I was down in Cornwall, a group of kids, I think there must have been about 12 or 13, there was about 10 of them come round the corner on their bikes, went too wide, I was in the middle of it, and they drove straight into me, so... Again, another injury. So when I finally got to Land's End and I started to sink that first pint, I was stung, I was bloodied, I was cut, I was tired, I was bruised. But I was one happy man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well done.
Fantastic story.
So what next? What's bigger now?
Well, after the plays writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Cornish people that he met, dodgy people.
Yeah, I haven't thought about what's yet. Yeah, I still like to do so. I do believe you can get the bug.
Of what?
doing a challenge, doing a personal challenge. It would always be for Stacey Smiles. Whatever I do would be for Stacey Smiles. But I can't think right now as to what else I could do to top that unless I actually went abroad somewhere. So I've got something in my head for the next 2 years. But as I say, I've got to see whether it's sanity or insanity.
Yeah. I had a great friend, and we often talk about challenges, and he said a challenge is never a challenge unless you have 50% chance of failing.
Ah.
And I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
It's good. I wish, you know, you're just going to always do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. Thank you for that, Steve.
Thank you.
Do follow up with stacysmiles.org.uk.
That's right.
As a website, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter and find out more about the kind of work that a charity is doing to help sufferers of neuroblastoma and their families.
That's right.
To have some relief and fun around the treatment that they're getting. Steve, thank you so much for
that.
We're kind of fast approaching the halfway point of the show. I think we'll do the masterminding after the news.
We'll have to, won't we?
We will, because we've kind of run out of time. But I've got a couple more tweets coming in talking about charities. The community show, the lovely Laura Lawrence has said, please can we have a Business Bunker shout out for the community show this week. The community show is a show on Channel Radio that focuses totally on charities and not-for-profits. And this week, our guest is Sally Flatow Taylor. Sally Flatow Taylor, who is the CEO of the Maypole Project. And the show is on Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 on channelradio.co.uk/2.
And another charity, it's the same Maypole Project, provides a lifeline of emotional support for children with complex medical needs. It's so similar.
Mm.
It's got a great idea.
Cool. We've read that. I'm just trying to find the ones we haven't read. Apparently it's World Kindness Day today as well, according to Neville Gaunt, and he'd like a shout out for that.
Well, you're not using it.
What? World Kindness Day?
No,
I've been kind to you.
Your finger is wagging. It's like a jewel.
Yeah, but it's good for you.
Okay, thanks.
And or something.
And my overachieving ability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stop overachieving. That's what I'm telling you. Natasha Dean, she's looking forward to collaborations with Nick and the All Task team and their construction followers on an inspiring event, and then raising money for their chosen charity as well. So you kind of inspired a few people to tweet in about their charity things, Steve.
Tracy Ferguson's been on. Have a great Business Bunker show, Paul and Bird. I'm in Sittingbourne delivering a Be Your Best Self workshop, so we'll catch up and listen to it later on. Do you know what? I've got to say to Tracy, Tracy's one of the greatest supporters. She goes through it, she's like, Bird. And then she'll start retweeting and just starting to bring up a couple of questions through the show, which I love. So, Tracy, it is truly appreciated. Thank you.
Yep. I need to tell you about the Marsh Networking. Down on Romney Marsh. The next event is Networking Over Breakfast. It's on the 29th of November, and it's at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. That's in Dymchurch High Street. And it includes a full English breakfast. If you want to book it, if you go to kempbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh, you can find out the details there. And then after that, on the 5th of December, they have Marsh Networking Over Coffee. 5th of December at 10 a.m. In the Sinkport Arms in New Romney High Street. So do check those two events out.
I tell you, I have seen one from, and it, again, you're quite right, Twitter's gone mad this morning again, is my friends at Cars from Kent.
Oh, has Mitch been on?
Yeah.
Your little fanboy.
He loves me.
He does.
Yeah, so there you go, Cars from Kent. There's your shout-out. I haven't even got it in front of me.
Have you? You're just guessing that he sent it to you?
No, I saw it earlier. Didn't you see? There it is. Yes, please, Bird and a Bike. A Business Bunker shout-out would be great. Buy or sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Thanks, Mitch.
There you go. You knew that was there before you read it, didn't you? I've had an email from Gillingham Football Club, and they say, hello, Business Bunker team. We wanted to let you know that we have a very exciting offer available. They want me to play.
Whatever.
A very exciting offer available to you now. Gillingham versus Portsmouth on the 26th of December, or Gillingham versus Doncaster on the 29th of December. And they got three packages available. Watch, Wine and Dine, which is £75. The 1893 Lounge, which is £83. Or an executive box, which is just £750. If you want to find out more about any of those special events and bookings for those two matches. If you could call Sophie Boynes, and you can call Sophie on Medway 01634 350350. That's Sophie Boynes, Gillingham Football Club, Medway 01634 350350.
Cool. A proven marketing training masterclass that will immediately transform and supercharge the way you do your marketing. Do you struggle to get the success you want from your marketing? So this is a masterclass which is dedicated to businesses who are dedicated to growing their business with better marketing. It's at the Muirkirk Maidstone Great Danes Hotel, 28th of November, 9 a.m. in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. Price is £97 plus VAT. You need to go on to www.businesseventsuk.com.
Fantastic. Do you know what?
Let's do it.
I think it's about time we join the newsroom. Awesome. At Channel Radio, don't you? And then we'll be back with some more guests after that. Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Update.